All right, what's up, everyone? This is Kyle Draper of the Celtics Talk Podcast, and we are bringing you a special edition of the Celtics Talk Podcast. My man, A. Sherrod Blakely, is here to my right. And, Sherrod, you've been grinding, bro.
Listen, today was a good day, Kyle, a very good day. We'll call this the Truth Edition podcast today.
All right, so I'll let you tell the people why it was such a good day. I thought it was a good day. Weather is nice outside. Less than 2 weeks away from media day, but you got other reasons why today was a good day.
Yes, today was a good day because we got a chance to sit down one-on-one with the truth, Paul Pierce, giving the goods on Jason Tatum, the Boston Celtics, Kyrie Irving, and of course, bringing the band back together is the 10-year anniversary of title, Banner 18. Paul was, as always, awesome.
Now,
awesome.
But before
awesome.
We get to that interview, I could be a hater.
Well, there's no quit about it. You are a hater.
How much did you pay for this interview we're about to hear, big fella? But I know you got sources. I know you out there grinding. So I'm going to give you props.
Well, first of all, you got to understand the position that Paul is in right now. Paul is not a player anymore. He's part of the media. He's on our team now. We kumbaya. This is called what we like to say is a professional courtesy.
Oh, Paul Pierce.
The truth did me a solid. That's my man.
Hey, I'm impressed that you got the interview. We're going to dive into it right now. An exclusive one-on-one with A. Sherrod Blakely and the truth, Paul Pierce, right here on the Celtics Talk Podcast.
Well, welcome back.
What's up, man?
What is it like being back here, man? I mean, has it sunk in that, you know, this is just... This is
home. I mean, what do you mean what it's like being back? This is home. This is I'm comfortable. This is like family when I come over here, man. It's like asking me how does it feel to be home?
When you step on the floor at practice court, do you have flashbacks?
Oh, it brings chills every time, man. I just stepping out there, grabbing the ball, I'm like reminiscing about the practice days, looking up at the banner, and then the one thing I looked up at today was just the empty banner. I was like, man, I left one behind. So I'm out there talking to Jason Tatum, like, man, you got to fill that up for me. I left one behind. So it definitely brings chills when I step out there.
People make a lot of comparisons with Jason Tatum's game to a young, just came into the league, Paul Pierce. Do you see the similarities?
Actually, he looked like an older version of me, like when I started doing the step back stuff. See, because I was more athletic, young, and I moved fast.
You forgot that you was in slam dunk contest.
Yeah,
back
see,
in the
I moved a lot faster when I was younger, so my game slowed down and matured as I got older. So, like, when I'm watching him, I'm like, he looked like a mature version of my game, like my sixth, seventh, eighth year, to where he sees the defense, he knows what's going to happen before it happens. He understands what his position, the footwork, his step back is there. I mean, his offensive repertoire seems like it's complete. He can shoot the three, he can put it on the ground. I think sky's the limit for that kid.
When you see a young fellow like that, and you obviously recognize the potential in his game, mm-hmm. What advice do you try to give to guys who are, you see that they're in the NBA, but they're kind of special players?
Yeah, the thing I see is this, what makes the special guy special, because there's a lot of talent in the league. No doubt about it. Everybody who comes into the league is pretty much talented, but it's about your mentality, your competitive drive, how great you want to be, you know, and that's what separates the good from the great ones. You know, you look at guys of the past, Kobe's just determination, his competitive spirit, you know, and you see guys that was just as talented, but they didn't have the same competitive spirit, so they could never reach levels of other greats. So, you know, that's the biggest thing, I think, is, you know, your mentality, having a competitive spirit, because there's so much talent, and it's about hard work and the mentality you bring every single night. And the one player I see with that right now is Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't see that a lot these days, mm-hmm. and that's what separates him, and that's why he's MVP.
When you were talking about being down on the floor, and you mentioned you left one up there, but the last one up there you helped put up.
Right.
It's 10 years.
10 years.
Since the gang was together and put that bad boy up there. Talk about just that time period that has passed and just what it's meant to you to be, you know, be able to put one up there.
Yeah, I'm just happy that I can just leave a legacy behind, you know. I had spent 15 years here, and to put a championship up with a team that drafted you.
That don't happen very often.
You know, so that means a lot to me. You know, I was able to be part of something for this generation to talk about, you know, because I'm sure the kids today hear the stories from their parents about, you know, Larry Bird and Kevin McHale, and now, you know, with us winning the championship, the newer generation can have some they can hang their hat on to. You know, we had Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen. So I'm happy if we didn't win a championship, it wouldn't be nothing to really talk about. So I'm happy that I'm able to give this generation something to hang their hat on.
I know a lot of Celtics fans were happy to see your Instagram post a few days ago where you and Ray getting back together,
right,
kind of burying that. Have you had a chance to talk to KG or Rondo about them? Because I know they...
You know, I'm fresh back from China, so I haven't really had a chance to speak to nobody else. But even when we're together and we even spoke on the Ray issue, I said, you know, even then, like months ago on Area 21, we talked about it. And I was like, you know, we got to come together at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to let it go at some point.
Right.
You know, I figured, like, if it's going to happen, maybe I'll be the one, the mediator and everything. You know, it left a bad taste in everybody's mouth, no doubt. But at some point, you know, you got to grow out of it. You know, we're out the game now as far as me and Kevin and Ray. And so, you know, I'm over it. You know, it happened then. It was a long time ago. So, you know, but at the end of the day, you got to realize, you know, Ray helped this become what it was when we were here. You know, regardless of what happened, we don't know the whole inside story on the contract situation, the trade rumors, his his position with Doc and Danny. You know, I don't know all that inside stuff. I just saw he left Miami, our rival, and got mad at that. So, you know, but eventually we get over things and we move on, just like relationships, all good and bad relationships do. And, you know, we hug, talk about it, and, you know, it's over with. I mean, you know, we're going to be linked together for life. I mean, whether we like it or not. So eventually we have to make up.
When you talk about rivalries and switching teams and things like that, Kyrie Irving, a Celtic, something. A few months ago, I don't think I would have ever even thought that would be possible. How can a guy with his skills, knowing him, how you've seen him play, how can he impact this team?
Kyrie can impact this team in a major way. I mean, you saw what Isaiah Thomas was able to do, and, you know, a lot of people... Even though Isaiah averaged more points than Kyrie, a lot of people believe that Kyrie is a better scorer. I mean, if you can average 25 points, 26 points, and you got LeBron James on your team, that's pretty impressive. So, you know, I can't even imagine what he's going to do here. I mean, he's going to have the ball. He's going to be the guy. He has championship experience. You know, the sky's the limit. He's still young. I mean, then he got some other guys to play with. I think... he was ready for this type of role, you know, to be the lead guy. You know, he's learned a lot under LeBron's tutelage. So I think he's ready to share that with some of his teammates and possibly bring another championship to Boston.
And speaking of being ready for roles, you retired. That's still marinating in my head a little bit. I haven't really quite settled on that yet. What has it been like being technically still in the game because of your work, but not in the game the way you've been for more than a decade?
Well, your mind says one thing, and your body says another thing.
R. Kelly song.
My mind is telling me yes, but my body's telling me no. You know, I'm completely satisfied with my 19 years. You know, it made it easier for me. I came to peace with it, and it's made it easier for me to walk away from the game. And I have a competitive spirit, you know, that boiled in me for a long time, but I'm at peace with that now. Now I'm trying to find other ways to, you know, direct that energy. But the good thing is I'm still around the game. You know, I come in here, I see young guys, you know, I feel like I can help out this newer generation. You know, I think I can have an impact that way. I can still talk about the game. I can still just be around it. You know, I enjoy just, you know, talking about the game, being around it, traveling to see games, you know. So it's always going to be in my blood. It's what I've been doing my whole life. So it's going to be hard to pull me completely away from the game. I may not be playing, but I'm always going to be around in the background.
Front office. Is it something you've thought about recently? And if so, is there anything percolating or is it just still kind of out there?
Front office is something I could see myself doing one day. But the thing is, right now, I'm fresh in retirement. I want to kind of just kind of stay home, spend some time with my family, catch up with them, you know, for lost times where I'm missing them on holidays such as Christmas or birthdays or, you know, that first this or first that. You know, I miss all that from playing the game. And so I want to be at a chance to enjoy that for right now, because when you work for the NBA, whether it's a coach or a GM, then, you know, you travel with the team. It's like you're back on the NBA schedule.
Right.
So that's not something I want to jump in right away. I just want to kind of like, you know, get to know my family all over again. You know, I got 3 beautiful kids, 9, 6, and 4, 2 girls and a boy. My boy is 4 years old. So, you know, I got to make up for some lost time.
Good stuff, Sherrod. Good stuff, Paul Pierce. Nice interview right there. You had a chance to look eye to eye with him, face to face. What stood out to you about the interview?
The thing about Paul, you know, he's always been a confident guy, and he's always, I think, been measured in his praise for other people. But Jason Tatum, it's a completely different animal as far as his praise. I mean, you know, the fact that Paul Pierce sees him as a guy that is not a young Paul Pierce, but an actually experienced Paul Pierce at a point in Paul's career where Paul was an all-star. He sees Jason Tatum having a lot of those skills in terms of the step-back shot, his ability to read coverages, his potential as a long, lanky defender. There's a lot about Jason Tatum that Paul Pierce clearly likes.
Now, hold up. Is Paul putting – more pressure now
on
Jason
absolutely.
Tatum? And can the young fella live up to that?
We're about to find out. And the thing about Tatum I like is that he seems like the kind of kid that embraces that kind of pressure. I mean, he went to Duke, and from the very beginning, it was a one-and-done plan. He was going to be there 1 year, 1 semester, depending on how you look at it, do what he needs to do on the court, and then head to the NBA. And he, to his credit, he did exactly what he planned to do. And there was pressure for him to be an impact player, knowing he was going to be there such a short period of time. So this kid is comfortable with the pressure to perform. And let's be honest, the truth did not make it any easier for him.
Hey, you know, one thing that stood out about the interview, and we heard about this earlier in the week, Paul Pierce burying the hatchet with Ray Allen. I've always said, if it was going to happen, it would be Paul Pierce that would get it started. Kevin Garnett, we know, wasn't going to call Ray up and be like, man, Rondo, he wasn't going to do that. And so I'm glad Pierce did that. Here we are, you know, almost on the 10-year anniversary of them winning that championship in 2008. The big question is, will KG come around? Will Rondo come around too?
I think they will. I've spoken to some folks close to Rondo, and basically, you know, he hasn't given it much thought. But the thing about Rondo, and we've seen this when he was a Celtic, he's going to fall in line with the big boys. I mean, whatever Paul and KG do in relation to Ray, Rondo is going to fall in line with that. And the fact that Paul has already got the wheels of turning to bury the hatchet so that they can come back here and it won't be awkward for anyone, I think that's a good sign. I think KG is going to just kind of co-sign and say, okay, let's just do this, get this night over with. And I think Rondo, he's going to fall in line.
Well, that's good stuff from A'Sherrod Blakely. Good hustle to get Paul Pierce in that one-on-one exclusive interview on the Celtics Talk podcast. We got Media Day in less than 2 weeks. Well, we're talking 12 days away, 11 days away. Hope you're ready
for it.
Time
is flying.
No offseason
this
year. Let's go. No offseason at all. Thanks again for listening to another edition of the Celtics Talk podcast. Make sure you subscribe to us, because on Wednesday, September 20th, we have a very special podcast coming your way. It would have been the 100th birthday for the one and only Red Auerbach. So we're going to take a look back at Red Auerbach's legacy with the Celtics, his final interview with Mike Gorman. We'll hear from Tommy Heinsohn as well. Some of the best moments of Red's career in the city of Boston. You'll get that next time on the 20th on the Celtics Talk podcast.
We out!